today on Living on Every Word.
Jesus said it, "Peace be with you." And if this is one of the first words of Christ having been resurrected, I believe that if he says, "Peace be with you," then we only have one option in this life, and that is to receive the peace of God every single day of our life, no matter what's happening in our lives, no matter what's taking place in our lives.
Peace. We all want it, yet why is it so difficult to find? In today's study, Pastor Mike Fritcher shows us that no matter what the situation, peace is available today. In this study of the first of the resurrected words of Christ, "Peace be with you."
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We have concluded a series on the last words of Christ from the cross. The next couple of weeks, I want us to be looking at the last words of the resurrected Christ. There are some very specific words that he spoke to his disciples, spoken to their life, that are very, very important for us to live on. In John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Now, Scripture says that Jesus had arisen from the dead and he appeared to his disciples. And the Scripture says in 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus," and Didymus is another word for twin, Thomas the twin, "was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" I got to see something. I got to see it. "I will not believe until I place my fingers in those scars." Now, Scripture says that after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger. See my hands? And reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Because you've seen me, have you believed? Because you've seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see, and yet they believed. Blessed are those who did not feel it and believed. Blessed are those who do not touch it and yet believe." Two words that I want us to look at over the next couple of weeks. Two words to live by. The very first word will be this whole idea of God's peace being with you and in you and around you and amongst us. Receiving the peace of God. Peace be with you. Jesus has said this a couple of times in his resurrected period. Jesus has spoken peace over and over and over. I mean, it's laced through the Gospels that the reason why he came was to give us peace. What is this peace? This peace is the freedom from disorder, confusion, and unrest of the soul. That's what it is. It's the freedom from disorder, confusion, and unrest of your soul, and also the freedom from disorder, confusion, and rest in your relationships. It is also this inward sense of calm, this trust, and this oneness with God and others, that no matter what is being thrown my way, I am walking in this freedom. Do you have it today? Did you have it this week? It's amazing how we'll let the enemy rob us of the peace that Jesus died to give to you and me. It could be something as simple as, well, what happened to me this week when I couldn't start the weed eater? And I wasn't walking in peace. I was walking in frustration because I wanted to get the job done. And something might have broke down in your life this week. It always does, doesn't it? So why do we bother about it? Why can't we stay calm? Why does something so insignificant bring disorder in our lives when Jesus says that the centerpiece of your life ought to be peace, it ought to be calm, it ought to be order, no matter what's happening around you? Now, some of you have been through life-changing events. Big time struggle, meaningful struggle. Maybe a broken relationship, maybe this thought of just the failures that I've walked in that has just brought me disorder and it's brought confusion in my life. And these are the big things of life that rob us of the peace that God wants us to walk through as we experience His presence. What is it that robbed you? What is it that has brought confusion and unrest in your soul? Is it failure? Is it your finances? Is it your relationships? Is it your health? What is it that you've allowed the enemy to rob you from the peace that Jesus Christ died for? Is there a peace in your soul and a peace in your heart that God is in control, that God is on His throne? And the word to live on, if the word is peace be with you, the word to live on is that I want to receive His peace. Because Jesus said it in John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But take courage because I've overcome the world. When you receive the peace of God, you will overcome the world. You will overcome temptation. You will overcome the things of this life that come and tear your spirit and your mind and your heart apart. The peace of God. It's this faith that I have that God is in control and He is forming all these things for His glory and His honor. When I receive His peace, I find a right relationship with God through Christ. And those are so linked. I can say, I believe in Christ and I find a relationship with God through Christ, and then I receive His peace. But there is this sense that we as believers, that when we're walking in this life, that we just receive it. We receive His peace. You say, well, how do you do that? How do you receive His peace? Well, how did you receive Jesus? Faith. You received it by believing the promise of God. And you even did it verbally when you confessed Him as Lord. And you believed in that moment as He regenerated you and as He formed you and as He called you to life. And it's the same way when there's confusion and when there's junk that's just pressing around you, that sometimes just by faith I want to say, God, I'm just going to receive Your peace right now. And you say, well, I've done that. Nothing happened. We'll do it again. I did that, nothing happened. Do it again. Resist the enemy and the temptation to give up and walk in the peace that God has for you through this right relationship with Christ Jesus. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Ephesians chapter 2. When you look at the last words of Christ when He's dying, you know that from this side of things, from this perspective of things, that Jesus was dying to bring peace to us. Peace with God, peace with one another, peace with yourself. And so in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 12, we'll begin. He says, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you, the Gentile, you were formerly far off. You have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. Notice something about those of us who did not have Christ in this world. We were separated from Christ. We were excluded from the kingdom of God. We were strangers to the promise, strangers to the Word of God. We had no hope. We were without God in this world. And the Scripture says we were far, far off. Let me ask you though, does that describe you today? Separate from Christ. Excluded from the kingdom of God. Strangers to the Word of God. You have no hope. And you're without God in this world. Far off. There's nothing worse than a far off feeling, isn't it? There's no peace in that. Romans 5:1 says that therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you receive His peace, you will find a right relationship with God through Christ. And you will no longer feel separate. You'll no longer feel excluded. You'll no longer feel a stranger. You'll no longer not have hope, but you'll have hope and you'll have God. And you'll never, ever be far off. God came to draw you close to Him. Not to anything else in this life but Him, except for the body of Christ to one another. Do you have peace with God today through Christ? Do you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've trusted Him, that you have bowed to His Lordship, that you have confessed that what He did 2,000 years ago, that He did for you 2,000 years later, that if you would embrace Him by faith in that way, that God would regenerate you and you would come to life and you would have this peace that you're always looking for? You find a right relationship with God through Christ. When you receive the peace, you walk in oneness in your relationships. Because we are one. See, it's one thing that God says He's done it. It's another thing that says that I'll walk in agreement with it. And God has said you're one. If you're married today, you're one. I don't care what division you've been walking in, the Scripture says from His perspective, you're one. If you're in the body of Christ, He says you are one. I don't care what kind of division takes place in a church, the Bible says you are one. That is His perspective. From our perspective, we repent of our individuality. We repent of our pride, our arrogance, our unforgiveness, our bitterness, and we embrace the idea of oneness in our relationships. You will find the peace of God when you receive it. When you say to God, Lord, if you're saying peace be to this marriage, peace be to this family, peace be to this church, we're going to say, okay, we're going to walk in that peace. Let me ask you, do you think that that cross was sufficient to bring peace to every one of your relationships? Yeah. Listen, you can walk in oneness today. You can walk in peace with God and you can walk with others. Now, I realize that there's some things that we try to do. We hear a message like this and we run to try to make it right. And sometimes they won't let it make it right. But I want to tell you, I'm just talking to you who have chosen not to try to make it right. You do whatever you can do to see that the peace will be made. The Scripture says in Romans 14:19, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Who's hindering your reconciliation? You are. If you've not gone and taken the necessary steps to be right with your brother, to be right with your sister, to be right with your father, your mother, your son, your daughter, your grandchildren. I want to ask you, have you done everything through faith and through these Scriptures to see and to make sure that you're reconciled? Because folks, when you receive the peace of God, you will find a right relationship with God through Christ, and you can't help but run to that person that you might have offended or they might have offended you so that you might walk in oneness in your relationships. As far as it depends on you. Now you might be here today and say, you know, I've tried that and it hadn't worked. Well, I want to ask you to do something. Would you pray about doing it one more time? Making it right. Every one of us have seasons in our lives where we're angry with somebody or someone's angry with us. Will you make it right? This is God's way, not man's way. It's God's way. And when you find this peace with God and you find this peace with one another, you know what you'll do? You'll receive the peace and you'll find this rest and contentment in your spirit and in your soul. And you'll find a contentment in Him even if everything else on the outside is just falling apart. You'll find peace with God in every circumstances. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4. I believe that God wants to give to you instant peace. Instant. I don't think that you have to go another day with inward turmoil in your relationship with God and with the circumstances that are happening around you. Now listen, you may be going through tough circumstances. I'm not saying that the circumstances will change. What I'm saying is that according to Scripture, that your inward soul changes, you begin to trust God, and you have this peace. And it may still rain, and it still may hail, and it still may storm, and there still might be uncertainty, but you know one thing, that the God of the universe is in my life, and He is making me to lie down in green pastures. I believe that you can have instant peace today in your spirit. I've seen it in you. I've seen it in the study. I've seen it where people come just emotional, spiritual wrecks, and they leave the study in peace. Or they leave the time in peace. You've seen it. You've walked in those seasons of your life where you received the peace of God and you got instant peace. And I tell you, this is one area of life that I want to say that I don't think you have to have patience for. I think God wants to bring you peace immediately. This is one thing that I don't think we have to wait for. Now, I'm not talking about the storm ceasing. Sometimes the storm goes on and on and on by God's design. But remember, it's whatever's being thrown my way, this freedom from confusion and this freedom from disorder and this freedom from unrest. I'm walking in this oneness with God so much that, you know, these things are coming my way. And yeah, there's a concern in my life and I'm trying to make things right. But somehow I got this incredible peace in my life that God's in control and that He's going to do what He says He's going to do. Don't you want to live that way? I want to live that way. I want to walk that way because I believe that that's how God designed us to walk as believers. For the world to say, look, of all the stuff that's going on in his life, and he still has this peace, he still has this joy, he still has this work that we see in his life or her life, that everything seems to be crumbling, and it's not like it's carefree, and it's like he don't care. He cares deeply, she cares deeply, but there's this inward peace, this inward settling of his life and his heart that says to the world, God's in control, and it's going to be okay in the end. Therefore, I will rest in that. How do we find this instant peace? Notice in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So what I'm doing is I'm taking my eyes off the circumstance, off the situation, and I'm putting on to the hand and the face of a sovereign God who knows what I'm going through. I praise you even through the valley. I say, you are my God. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. One of the most traumatic physical days of his life, Paul's life, was when he was in a Philippian jail, having been beaten with the same kind of whipping that Jesus got before the cross. Body absolutely stressed out. Don't know if he's going to live or die. Impending death, imprisonment, and they're in the deepest dungeon, the scripture says. They're in the cesspool is where they're at. Rat infested, disease infested. The scripture says at midnight, what do? They sing praises to their God. They take the hymns that they have heard and have written, and they sing to their God. They rejoice always. Did that mean that they didn't suffer and that they didn't cry and that they didn't hurt? No, there's still wounds on them, folks. Listen, he received, the scripture says, three times these 39 lashes. And this was one of them. Jesus took this beating once. He took it three times. He said you couldn't recognize Paul because of all the scars on him. And yet after this worst beating of his life, he's praising God. He's rejoicing in God. And you know, I just have noticed in my life that if my first response will be a praise to Him and a rejoice to Him and not a grumbling and not a complaining and not a worry and not a stress and not an anxiety, if I'll do this first, I find instant peace. That doesn't mean that I don't struggle with it when it comes on, but I find that initial peace that I can walk in and walk out whatever difficulty I'm facing. Whatever uncertainty I'm facing. Second thing, he says, then let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. I think this is one of the most important principles simply because I know what it's like to walk in seasons of anxiety. That's a propensity for me to be anxious, try to figure it out, try to fix it. And I think of all these ways, how do I fix this? And you know, I've come to realize through the years that I can't fix anything. I can't change circumstances. I can't change hearts. I can't change marriages. Only God can do that. But when I'm burdened, what do? I find somebody to confess to. Because that's why we have small groups. That's why men meet all over the area. That's why we have home fellowships and life groups and Sunday school classes. That's why we have these times of just getting together so that we can bear one another's burdens. Have somebody to say, I'm struggling with this anxiety and I need you to pray for me. I let the Spirit known to all men. I become transparent, not closed up, but open to say, this is where I struggle. I'm rejoicing in God, and I'm opening up to my neighbor. I'm opening up to my friend. I'm opening up to my spouse. I'm opening up to the church that this is where I'm struggling, and I need help. Therefore, when I have somebody in my life that has the gift of encouragement, a gift of praying, a gift of faith to believe the promise of God for me, the gift of giving and serving, who comes and serves your need in that moment, body life is happening, community is happening, and loving well is happening. But it wouldn't have happened if you not confessed it, kept it in, bottled up. You know what usually I see happen? A lot of times is folks bottle it up, and then they get mad at the church, and they get mad at the preacher because they didn't help them. Let your forbearing spirit be known. You've got anxiety, you've got stress, you're worried about something, find somebody to confess it to. And to say to those folks, I need your prayers. I need your help. Let it be known. Third thing, know that the Lord is near. He is near. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, He is in your life. He is living. He is breathing in you. And He is near. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. I take this great confidence, this great faith, that He is in the middle of this. And so I'm not going to blame it on the devil. What I'm going to do is I'm going to trust the sovereign God who allows everything to happen. Did Job blame the devil? Yet the devil came through and said, let me have him. And God said, okay, I'll let you have him for a season. God could have said, no, you're not going to touch him. God was in control. Do you think that one time on this cross that God was out of control? Absolutely not. He was in control. Absolutely in control. This is when we talked a few weeks ago about submitting well. We submit to the circumstances of our life, knowing that He is near, knowing that He is at work, knowing that He is doing a significant work in our lives. How many of us have gone through traumatic times in our lives, horrible times, and we've come through, and we do say, don't want to ever go through that again, but I will never trade the situation. God taught me. God loved me. I saw God at work. I saw the power of God in that. Don't want to be sick again. Don't want to go through the trouble again that I did. But even the things that I brought on myself through my rebellion, I thank God that God used them for His glory. I trust Him. He's near. And He's at work in my life. And then the Scripture says, okay, you're rejoicing always. You're in an accountability with someone and that you confess your forbearing spirit and you know that God's near. Now you can just say this, I'm going to be anxious for nothing. I'm going to be anxious for nothing. We hadn't done this in a long time, so let's do it right now. I want you to repeat after me, okay? I will be anxious for nothing.
I will be anxious for nothing.
One more time.
I will be anxious for nothing.
Yeah. Folks, we all face anxiety. We all face stress. We all face worry in some sort of way. It's a natural thing that comes out of the flesh, out of the fallen nature. But I'm going to decide that I'm not going to be anxious for anything. He said, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. None of these things will come in the way. Instead, what I'll do, the Scripture says, I will let my requests be made known to God. And I'll do this with thanksgiving and with this prayer of supplication. I will walk in prayer and I will walk in thanksgiving and I will make this request be made known to God. Now notice what I'm doing. I'm already rejoicing always and I'm in community and I'm in church life where I'm letting my spirit be known to all men and I know that the Lord is near and He's in my life. Therefore, I choose not to be anxious, but instead I'm going to go straight to God in prayer. I'm going to go to the kingdom. I'm going to go to the throne of grace and find grace and mercy. For satisfaction and for peace and for joy and contentment. And I'm going to say, God, this is my request. I need your peace. And I'm thanking you for it. And I'm praying for it. And I love what he says with this supplication. You know, supplication just means that you're praying not only for yourself, but you're praying for others. And you're no longer the spotlight on me and my anxiety and my problems. But instead, I'm wanting to love well. Therefore, I supplicate. I pray for that friend who's going through that tough time and that struggle time. And you know what God says when you do this? And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. In other words, I can't comprehend these circumstances. They are so heavy. But somehow I have this peace of God. And it's guarding my heart. And it's guarding my mind in Christ Jesus. Two places where conflict comes. The heart and the mind. And boy, that mind can go, can it? God says, listen, I want the peace of God to guard your mind. I want it to be around you. I want it to surround your heart and surround your mind so that you think and feel right. And this is a proactive aggressiveness in the kingdom of God by which I am pursuing the peace of God in my life. And therefore, what this means, when this peace is guarding my mind, then whatever is true and then honorable and right and pure and lovely and of good repute and of anything of excellence and anything worthy of praise, I'm letting my mind dwell on these things. Not on the trial, not on the struggle, not on the stuff, not on the relationship, but upon God. And then I want to imitate great men of God, great women of God, practicing the things that they walked in that brought peace, so that the God of peace will be with me. Instant peace. Walking in the peace of God. I'll ask you, do you have it? The resurrected word of Christ is, peace be with you. The word to live on is to receive it today. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Receive His peace? You bet. And sometimes it goes something like this. Lord, I've walked this week in turmoil, disorder, confusion, and unrest. And it's been in my relationships. God, there's not been this inward sense of calm, trust, and oneness with You. And I repent because Your peace is ready. Ready to be given at any moment. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, by this act of my will today, I receive the peace of God. I receive it today. I rejoice in You today, Lord. I praise You and I glorify You. And Lord, I promise I'll find somebody to share this burden with. I know that You're near, so I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be anxious for my stuff or for these relationships of how they're going to turn out. I'm not going to walk in stress over my job, money. But now I'm going to just say, God, this is my request. I thank You for it. And I pray for others today. I receive Your peace. Father, I thank You for Your word today. You said in John 16:33, the things that You spoke to us, and You spoke them so eloquently and so specifically so that in You we would find the peace of God. We confess that in this world we will have tribulation. But we take courage today because You've overcome the world. You've overcome the flesh. You've overcome the enemy. And therefore, I will walk in the peace. We will walk in the peace that You secured and procured at the cross 2,000 years ago. Abolishing all enmity. Lord, I pray for hurting marriages today. I pray for the peace of God. I pray for hurting souls today. I pray for the peace of God in the heart, the soul today, the mind. Father, I pray for hurting relationships. I pray for the man or the woman in this place who doesn't have a right relationship with You today. They've never been justified by faith to have peace with You. And I pray that today would be their day. I pray that as we walk from this invitation time, that we would be able to say with such great certainty, it is well with my soul. I have the peace of God. And I pray that in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen.
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.